Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. I've been praying about today, and I'm excited about the message. I can promise it's going to be from the heart and from God's Word. So I got a text message from my friend Sarah. We've been friends for a good long time now. And she told me about her little boy she's bringing up right now. And her boy's name is William. That's also my dad's name. She didn't know I was going to be preaching today, but she asked if we could pray for William and his stomach today at church. So I'd like us to pray before we start the message. If any of the elders want to come up so we can pray for William, and you can come up with me. Okay. Thank you. So William has a stomach ailment, and he may need a surgery. Is that right, Sarah? Thanks for being here today. All right, let's pray. Thank you, God, for our little buddy William today. I want to pray that his little belly would be all right, his stomach would be okay, and everything the surgeons may need to do, that they would know what to do, and it would all work out just fine. Give peace to him and to his mother, in Jesus' name. We really count on your peace and your power in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. In John chapter 14, I'm going to read John chapter 14, a little bit of 15 today, some other scriptures. I'm excited about this because it has to do with a little bit what Phil Bacon's been teaching in Bible study recently, and it's connecting to what Fred has been preaching about. He's been preaching about idols of the heart. He started his series last week, where maybe there's things in our heart that become too big. And maybe people would sin to get them, or sin if they don't get them, or they're just blocking the way for Jesus, right? And we're trying to put something in the place where God should be. So this fits in really well. This is on the positive side, and it has to do with the theme of bearing much fruit, that we abide in Christ. So he'll explain that when he speaks through his word, and we will focus on what he says about abiding in Christ, because he is the true vine, and we abide in him, and that's how we bear much fruit. If you'll pray with me one more time, let's pray. God, we thank you for your word and pray that you would add your blessing to it from your Holy Spirit to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus said in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. In verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. In verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's going to be a major point today, the peace that Jesus gives us. And in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He continues, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. God has called us to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, a fruitful life. You have probably already started to see this in your life if you started your walk with Jesus. You started to see God answering prayers in your life. You started to see that hearing his word might have an application in what you're really going through. Or I hear Bonnie even talking about Philippians 4 and thinking about God in her times of anxiety and stress, and it helps her to know she's hanging on to God who cares about her. And certainly we've been through the hard times. So let's talk today about this exciting situation, because Jesus has promised us some things in Scripture today, that he's going to be with us, that he's going to leave us his peace, and his peace will be with us, that we will bear fruit if we remain in him, and this is going to glorify God, and that he's going to give us his joy, and his joy will be complete. These are exciting things to me, so fasten your seatbelts. I'm sorry. There is a test on this in the end, by the way. I've been a teacher before, and I'm today feeling like one of those teachers that wants to tell you, there's a test on this at the end, so you need to know this. I'm not going to test you, but someday when we meet God in heaven, he's going to look at how was the fruit of your life. Okay, what kind of fruit did you bear? Okay, it's not like we're forcing it to happen, because it's about abiding in Christ, and it's naturally going to happen, and we're going to see that today. It's a joyful thing. It's a thing surrounded by peace. Let's talk about, first of all, the peace of God. There are some who don't experience the peace of God, and I'll tell you what, it's easy to be there. Let's just talk about peace in general. It's that calmness. It's also in the Bible an absence of violence. It's not an anger problem. It's about God's power. You see, God doesn't treat us like maybe our sins might deserve. He doesn't bring us anger. He doesn't bring us wrath. He doesn't have shame that he wants to put on us. He, in fact, paid a price so that he could interact with us in terms of grace. He paid the price on the cross. We took communion to remember him so that his peace can be with us, and so that he can reconcile with us and reconcile us to the Father through Jesus. So when Jesus met the woman at the well and he talked to her about the fact that the person she was with, she said she has no husband. And he said, it's true that you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had more than one husband, and the man you have now is not your husband. And he didn't know her before that, so she was surprised. How can this person know about my life? But notice that Jesus wasn't condemning her. He was talking to her about he himself, drawing her to himself and telling her, we're drawing water here, but whoever believes in me will have a spring of living water inside him, and they'll never thirst again. That's peaceful. Some of what drives us on in life, in our work and in our striving, it has to do with we really do need to have a shelter. We want to have a car that gets us to work. We kind of need something to drink when we're thirsty. And we need some medical attention when it's time. We need some food. And nobody just kind of gave that to me. I don't know about anybody else here, but nobody gave that to me. I knew I had to get myself to work. It's not just going to be given. And I can't just depend on someone else. And in fact, if I'm dependent on others, there could be a lack of peace because I don't know if I could trust that they're always going to be there or that their help would always be there. But we can only depend on and trust in and be dependent on our Father in heaven. You see, even my own work, we don't know sometimes if something might happen to our country. We don't know if something might happen to our financial system. And there's YouTube videos all out there that would like to get us all worried. At any time, you could find something to panic about that's just around the corner. And it's so scary. It's like clickbait. It's trying to get you to click on it. And we could get wound up in that. And it could itself steal our peace. Someone told me that there was a study that I've got this so it helps me with timing. But somebody said if you leave your cell phone on the table while you eat, it's known to cause more anxiety for the people at the table and maybe for just you too. And also every time you get like that buzz in your pocket or that sound, and then you stop what you're doing and you check it, there's like this release of a stress hormone, cortisol, every time that happens. And so if that happens over and over all day, screen time is kind of a diversion, but I don't know if it's where peace comes from. But I do know Jesus, and I do know that's where peace comes from. He is the God of all peace. He's our gentle shepherd. I'm going to give you some homework. Psalm 23, read about God's peace. Some people wrote that down. I'm impressed with that. You can read that later. It's not just an absence of strife, but it's that guiding and abiding presence of God. He promises, and so I will trust in what he promises. There are some things he doesn't promise, so if you put your trust in that, be careful, because when you lose what you're holding on to, or the person that you love, that he didn't promise you could keep forever, at least not in this life, that is a hard thing. But just if we remember, oh yeah, God didn't promise me that I could always have my dad or always have my spouse, I may realize that, you know, this is part of life that we're all going through. It's the difficulty we got to help each other through. It's why we need the love of God. It's like why we need each other in the church to encourage, to help, and to give peace to each other and to comfort, right? I'm so pleased that this church doesn't have to be shaken and woken up like, why don't we help each other? Because here we do help each other. Here we already celebrate together. Here we already carry each other's burdens. And so it's wonderful to be a part of this church. Let's keep that up. It's wonderful that the power of God is used to create a peace in our hearts. Not to dominate us, not to force us down, and not to scare us into submission, but to bring us to a peaceful, loving Savior. Isn't that wonderful? The power of God brings us peace. In fact, Jesus said he himself is our peace. Has anyone ever seen Jesus kind of show up in your life and bring you peace? Anybody ever seen that happen in your life? I definitely have. I saw Lake Michigan as a young man. Can't remember what I was, 12 years old, something like that. I remember I was in Chicago with my family, traveling one direction or the other. Lake Michigan, we can see it from the hotel on Lakeshore Drive. You ever been up there? And sometimes it's kind of calm, but this day I looked down and there were white caps everywhere. And it was just stirred up, and these waves looked really intense. This was the same year from the same hotel I got to see, I heard sirens and we got to see the motorcade and President Reagan was driving by and that was pretty fun. But I noticed these waves and these white caps. There was also a breakwater across the large area there, kind of close to Navy Pier. And there's a place where you can go to a beach and swim. And on this day it looked cold, and some days look sunny, but some days look cold and feel cold at the end of the summer in Chicago. This was one of those days. And the waves outside the breakwater were even larger. And then the breakwater just kind of stilled everything. I think to me, Jesus is like that breakwater. He just kind of stops. Some of the major things that would have shaken me even more, and we don't realize how much he kind of guards us, do we? Guards us from spiritual attack. Guards us from a lot of woes that would have been there. You know, there's things that cause peace to just vanish. If I sin against God, if I sin against people, if I start an argument, or if I continue an argument, or if I let somebody stir me up and then I go try to engage and be aggressive about that, that's going to burn up that peace pretty quickly. In fact, I'm going to be in a whole new state of mind, and the whole situation might get worse. I could be lazy, and then later it comes back to me as a lack of peace because I took my break, and now a lot of stuff isn't done, and I got a lot on my plate now, and it weighs on me, and the anxiety shows up because I didn't get my work done. I put it off. So starting with those small steps can help, and just knowing I'm going to start with God's help here. Interacting with people who make threats, who get aggressive, hopefully that's not where we stay, right? It's not a place to stay. If somebody's harming you, you don't have to stay there. But the more we're wise, the more it guides us, the wisdom guides us into peace. Even God's discipline guides us into peace. But God loves us, then that's how I know his peace is going to be there for me. And when I see him, he is happy to see me. Not because I earned it, but because he is a loving God. I think my major prayer for today was that we would all somehow know God's love in a deeper way today. In fact, the Bible says that in his writings, Paul said that he prayed for God's power so that we could understand how much God loves us. And that's a wonderful thing that we need to know that. His love abides. He's a powerful God, but his love abides and he doesn't leave us or forsake us. And he wants to stay close. And when we are straying away, trying to do this thing on our own, he wants to bring us back. By whatever means, kind of gets our attention and brings us right back. Because that's his heart, for us to be close, for him to be our breakwater, for him to be our protection, for him to be the one that calms the storm or that is with us in the storm. I can't look back and say that I totally regret every difficulty in life. And I promise I'm not going to even start to tell you about difficulties in my life I've been through. Not today. But I know that I can be thankful because somehow God has seen me through hard times and I know he's going to do it again. And I know I'm not going to walk away when those hard times come. So that makes my faith stronger. But again, when it's like, hey, I've got a problem and I've got my God on the other hand, what do I focus on? So get to know God better. He'll prepare you for things, but he'll also let you know it's going to be okay. Peace, Jesus said, I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So we bear much fruit in the name of Jesus while we are connected to him. He's the true vine, and we're connected to him through his invitation and our saying yes to him. You don't earn your way to God. You don't go through steps, and then now you're connected with him. You simply say, yes, please, God, I want to be connected to you. But to me, sometimes after a while, it's like, well, why would anyone want to be living apart from Christ? But there's just false teaching out there. and their teaching and advertisement of many things that are like, come in here and find your peace. Come in here and find your joy. You don't need love like that. You need love that looks like this instead. And we're sold so many things, who knows where they come from, but also inside us sometimes we kind of have this bent toward things that aren't God's ways. And God's patient with us, but he does tell us, I am the true vine, my Father's the gardener. So the scary warning a bit is that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So without dwelling on that too much, I just needed to know that God is serious about our growth. He's serious about our connection to him. There's not going to be another way to please God. There's not going to be another God. When we die, we have to face him. That's part of the gospel, actually, that we have to give an account for our lives. There's a willingness to bow our knee now, and it won't be such a strange thing then. But there will be a time when every knee will bow, because that's God's decision. That in the end, every knee will bow to God and give glory to him. But it doesn't mean everyone gets to have the peace of God and that everyone gets to stay with God. It just means that everyone has to submit to him and recognize who he is. You see, it's not a good thing to be cut off. It's not a good thing to experience that, probably. And it's not a good thing to be cut off eternally. So it's not only those who refuse him, it's just those who don't bear fruit. Because you see, if you don't bear fruit, you just didn't care. You can say you did, but you just didn't care. See, God wants to give you gifts to use. He wants to give you opportunities to use your gifts. And if you let him, he wants to get you excited about using your gifts. And I don't mean that you have to do some amazing work or force something to happen. You just have to, like, what does he say? Abide in me. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. God, it says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so it will be even more fruitful. If you take a tree, it's prone to, and I think my life is prone to this, having too many branches trying to do too much. And also some branches are just not really strong. Because, again, like if there's too much going on, you've got some branches right next to another branch and not getting the nutrients because the other branch is getting it. And some are in the shade all the time because there's other branches up above getting the light and it's not getting any light. So he prunes, which means he cuts off where it's not supposed to be and doesn't help the growth of the plant so that it's more fruitful. So he's so interested that he's willing to kind of guide you in what isn't really the best for your life so that you can be more fruitful. And that's going to look like a lot of different things for different people. My uncle probably didn't want to have cancer a couple times. But, you know, I never would have seen how kind he was. I never would have seen that he, like, went and visited people in the hospital that had the same colonoscopy bag, which is unpleasant. But he was there just to visit with them, just to share, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. I've got one. I never would have known that about his character at all. Things in your life, God's going to use it for good. For you and for others. There are people who know you, who need to know you are strong, who need to know you're okay, who need to know that Jesus matters, and when you've done something for Christ, it is something that's okay. They need to just see you being you and abiding in Christ. That's powerful things. You know, it's going to lead to good relationships. Good relationships lead to good fruit. Sometimes the good relationships are the good fruit. The forgiveness you give somebody when you felt wronged, you know, you open the way for fruit to get into your life there in a good relationship later. And if you don't forgive that, suddenly you've cut off that relationship. Something stays there, bad root, okay? Don't stay there. But in the Bible, there's something called sowing and reaping. If you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. You start with something small that you offer, you use your gifts. Later, it comes back something bigger. That's how the harvest works. The Bible says that, you know, when you come to Christ in that excitement, it can bleed over into your life so that your life can bear fruit 30, 100 times what was sown. If you take a certain number of money and you multiply it by 100, pretty soon that becomes a pretty large number. One time in prayer, I just asked at the, talking about bearing fruit, I was at the bank and I was praying, God, you know, maybe there's a chance for me to think about an investment. Please give me some guidance on that. So I just prayed about it. I asked the person in the teller, I said, do you have any suggestions for a good investment? And they suggested a company, Eli Lilly. And I thought, that's interesting. And I thought about Lilly for a while. And I thought, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Okay, thank you. And she had like three reasons why she thought that people she's heard of were investing, and she thought it's a good idea. But I went away, and I got busy. I didn't like move money. I didn't transfer any stock. I didn't buy any stock. So what I did about a week ago is I did something that was painful. I looked up what that stock would have yielded if I would have just taken that advice, just that one little thing. I asked my son, what do you think? He's like, I don't know, 25%. I said, no, it's 300%. That's three times. So just because I just didn't follow through, I didn't bear fruit in that. But I will hopefully learn from that experience. We have to keep in step with the Spirit. Charles Elkner was like a mentor to me, and he had lived his missionary career in with his wife and his family in Brazil. He was the same age as Billy Graham, and studied in seminary and went over there and started a seminary and an orphanage. But he told me that, you know, I'm like, well, how do I know if I'm going to be in God's will or make the right decisions in life? And he's like, look, just like what he does is he told me 1 John 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And he said to me that has always helped him. Just, am I walking in the center of the light? Not just light shining on you, but the center of God's will. And that's how he looked at it. And that doesn't have to be a hard thing. If you just know God wants you to do something, or it's your responsibility, that's a wonderful thing to focus on, because he will help you there. There's grace to help you. He's going to be guiding that. He's going to potentially use angels to make things happen. And you may not ever see that, but you'll just see good things happen. And that's how he'll guide the path. He'll guide you in ways you didn't expect, but he'll use it for your good. He'll get you ready for the next thing. Are you faithful? Just abide in Christ. And that faithfulness is going to bear much fruit, because it's easy for him to make that happen in your life. You don't have to measure it or worry, because our God cares for you. He's going to protect you from the anxieties, from the fears, from that like, I don't want to start this thing because it's too scary. I've never done anything like this before. Ooh, I don't want to speak in front of people because I don't want anybody to see me, right? I was nervous the first time I ever gave my testimony, and I never saw myself as a speaker, and I still need practice, but that's what God's leading me to do. Get more practice at this. Keep doing it. Bear much fruit. And then Jesus gives us joy. You know, the wonderful way to bear fruit is that you enjoy your work, isn't it? You ever seen somebody like that at your workplace? They just enjoy what they're doing? Or have you ever seen like your mom or your grandma like enjoying just the work she's doing for her family? Or just someone that's happy to be around. I've had people in my life that are like, smile, Mike. They said that to me so many times. I've probably heard that this week a lot. Smile, Mike. You know, I'm kind of a problem solver, but if I'm not careful, those problems can weigh on me, and I'm just thinking about them, and I'm missing the joy. So a couple things about joy before we close today. There's joy in a sudden gift. Something suddenly happens to you. There's folks Julie and I know someone who works at the casino in Anderson, and we happen to be coming back from visiting Chris and Holly and their new baby, which is wonderful. Talk about joy. That's the joy right there, right? Joy of a new baby, a new grandson. But we just decided to stop and see what this whole casino thing's like, and didn't really find anything too exciting there, to be honest. I was hoping we'd see some horses, but that wasn't going on. But I saw one row after another of people sitting down, clicking buttons, things flashing. It's very complicated to learn how these things work, but you think you might be doing pennies, but then all of a sudden you want to multiply it, and then you want many things to give options, and then all that multiplies your bets or whatever. But somehow they're just sitting there doing it over and over. And then I'm like, this is so confusing. And we met somebody, and he decided, he was so excited about it. He showed us his membership card. He showed us what it's like. He showed us how it works. And partly I wasn't interested, but he was so excited, I just listened to him, right? And then he sits us down, he's doing it, and he types it in, and pretty soon he puts in $100, $100 bills he pulls out. He loses the $100, it's gone. He's like, yeah, that's okay, but here's how it works. You know, we find one that's kind of working, we get in there, and he puts out more $100, he gets that $40 in there. He's spending it, and he makes 35, and then he makes something else hit, and it's after he spent $100, right? But then it made like $60 one time, and then something's tracking it, and it's going to give him rewards later. And something about that little jolt of like, oh, something good just happened is exciting. And so he just was so thrilled about that, and he just kept doing it, and it was nothing to him, just put another $100 in there and just keep going. And it's like that's how he was using the money he was making. And something, there's little tiny bits of joy that might happen if you try investing in a little thing. But I just see some people there, like, it looks like their life kind of drains away as they're looking for little bits of joy. There are sinful things that can drain you and that can even harm your life. There are drugs. There are other things that we should avoid, obviously, because little pieces of joy might rob you later. Don't do that. God's joy doesn't rob you, but it's a sudden gift that is exciting, that's real, and his joy lasts. There's no side effects except better joy later is a side effect of God's joy, all right? I looked up Jewish words for joy, and accidentally it thought I said C.S. Lewis. So by accident, I looked up C.S. Lewis, and he said it's like a jackpot, a little trade that's worth it, okay? He said it's not fate. He said it's like you're homesick. It starts with something you want and don't have. And then when all of a sudden you get it, there's that joy, right? And sometimes it's the joy of knowing it's about to happen. There's joy in that. When Christ is with you, his hope is there. It's a living hope. And you know you're going to live in heaven with him someday. You know he's helping your life get better. In the moment when you don't have something you want, you know that his goal is not to take from your life. You know if you pray, he's going to look for ways to bless you. So there's joy in that. You don't have it, but it's going to happen. There's joy, okay, in the Jewish words, simcha, gladness or rejoicing. You know anything about that, Don? Simcha, gladness and rejoicing, singing and things like that. I think he brings it. I never had to remind Don Martyr to smile when he's worshiping. Gladness and rejoicing. God's done something good for you. If you don't know the gospel, it's the good news that it's a righteousness by faith. It's a gift. If you don't have that joy, you don't have the hope of the joy eternal. And if you haven't settled that in baptism, look for that to happen. Nail that down when you're ready. But get ready, right? It's a worthy thing to do. Abide in Christ. Gladness or rejoicing. The bounty of the land, the simcha. They're supposed to share it in community in certain festivals, the Jewish people, because they're supposed to remember that they were slaves in Egypt and God took them out of slavery. And so share it like in the community meal. Share the joy in community and share your abundant harvest with the people that you care about so that you have meals together, so that you have fellowship together, and include the people who are low in life. Bring them up. Weddings. My in-laws are here. Julie and I had a wonderful wedding party and wedding celebration. Phil Bacon was there for a time, and he did the ceremony, actually, but the wedding party afterwards was also quite fun. My older brother, Bill, couldn't make it today. He was sick, but he said to me, "Mike, that was the funnest wedding party I've ever been to." The joy of being married to someone who cares about you and you care about them. Julie's just wonderful. And there's something about living in Christ that helps people mend things up quickly or grow and then also abide together. And I see her growing and I'm growing. There's something wonderful about that. But even before all the excitement of staying married is joyful, there's the celebration of a marriage. That's a joyful thing. There's a wedding supper in heaven someday. Be ready, because it's exciting. And it's a joyful thing. And God can't wait to be with you. God, you see, fills the void in each of us. In our joy, he says, he wants to make complete. Fill up the joy. That's why I'm trying to figure this joy thing out. Because there's somehow something empty that gets filled up. It's who we are, right? He fills us up in our hearts. I hope it overflows in your life in a real way, and that's enriching to you, because Jesus gives it to us. I have told you this, Jesus said, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Isn't the fruit of the Spirit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? There's joy in that. Love, joy. The joy of the Lord is part of the fruit of the Spirit. He said, I looked up this word, I think it's Yiddish, I have you love is what it is, ich heb dich lieb, okay? That sounds really strange. It doesn't sound very exciting, does it? This one, ani ochev otak, is like, I love you, right? And then, it's worth the investment. Joy during the hope of life, joy after something good happens, joy knowing you're walking with the Lord through difficulty. It's somehow a wonderful thing to know God. And then a joy looking forward to potentially a reward. There's something called the beatific vision, that beautiful vision. But beatific means joyful vision. You get to see God someday. So the hope that we have is that God wants us to connect to him. He wants us to keep from things that ruin good fruit in our lives. And he wants us to know that he is the author of our healing, of our salvation, of our joy, of our peace. He's the author of good fruit that we bear in life. Fruit that's sometimes financial, but mainly that fruit that is eternal. What's unseen is eternal. That fruit in your good relationships, in your families that stay together, in the way that joy grows with your children or with your connection to Jesus and to each other in the church, God's going to keep blessing us if we abide in him. Just stay with him. Let's stay the course with Jesus. If you have anything you need to pray about today, you can come forward. If you have a decision to make about baptism, you can do that today. If you need prayer for anything else in your life, you can come forward. But today, his kindness, his heart is there for you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your loving kindness in our hearts. We offer this time to you back in thanks. We praise you. We thank you for your work in our hearts and pray that all continues. We look forward to you showing us more and more what it means as we abide in you and we get into your word and let it get into us and we let Christ have his way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.